Welcome to the Van Hack Podcast, the podcast for tech talent that wants to get hired abroad.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new Van Hack Podcast episode. I am Maria Sanchez, and I am the community manager here at Van Hack. I am delighted to start this episode because I have an incredible guest today. Today, I am with Gabriel Ferreira, who is an influential content creator in the world of technology. Gabs, which is how we know him, has a YouTube channel, blog, and social networks where he talks and shares content about career, technology, and programming. And today we will talk about what to expect from a tech career. Gabs, thank you so much for accepting this invitation to the Van Hack Podcast. How are you today?
It's my pleasure. I'm fine.
That's great. So, Gabs, here at Van Hack, we already help over 1,800 software developers to land their dream job abroad in Canada, in the United States, or Europe. And we just reached the milestone of over 400K talent tech people with us. Most of our Van Hackers are senior professionals with more than 4 years of experience, but we also have some people that are starting their careers and others that came to ask about how to start or how to be successful. So because we receive a lot of questions about this, we want you, Gabs, to help us to answer the most common questions we receive. So great. I think it's content time. So we should start, right? So what should people interested in tech world expect from a tech career?
Well, I think people can expect a lot of freedom, I should say, because nowadays we have many, many different ways of working in tech. Be it as a part-time developer, I know a lot of people that work in tech that are not like a full-time employees. I have people that I know that are working from many different countries. I have people that I know working from home in office, let's say in the traditional way. And when we say tech nowadays, usually we think about, at least me and the people that I know of, we usually think about the programming area, right? About being developers and this kind of stuff. But tech is more than programming. There's many different areas and there's many different opportunities to grow and to work in this field. I mean, freedom, a lot of possibilities, and well, in some cases, in most cases, I can say, we have good salaries and with years of experience. If you are an experienced tech developer, you probably have a salary that will be a really good one for if we are going to compare with modern professions nowadays.
Perfect. Let's talk about now. What are the biggest challenges in the tech journey?
So I would say that one of the biggest challenges in the beginning would be to focus on something specific to learn, because we have so many different opportunities and paths and different ways of succeeding in a developer and tech career that it's easy to get lost in the beginning. So this is something that you should pay attention when you're starting out. Not try to learn too many different things at the same time and focusing on one or two technologies. And the other challenge in the long term is that you have to be learning all the time. Every time there is a new thing to learn, you have to, you know, stop and learn that. But the good news is that this is a process that becomes easier along the way. You learn how to learn over the time. And when you have like 5 years of experience, the way you're going to learn a new technology is going to be very different than the way you're going to learn when you have like 6 months learning tech. So you get better over time. But I think this would be the greatest challenges, in my opinion.
Amazing. Okay, now let's talk about, it's really essential to have a tech degree, or it's better to have some experience?
Well, I would say that Nowadays, the degree thing is something that companies care less than they cared in the past. But I would say that if you can have a degree, if you can go to the university, if you can do a graduation, you should do it. Because especially in the beginning of your career, when you don't know too many people, where you don't have too many references, you should go to meet people, to learn the basis, to understand your field, because otherwise your references are just going to be, I don't know, about people that you meet online or on events and this kind of stuff. So I would say if you have the opportunity to go to the university and have a degree, you should do it. But having experience is also very, very important. You shouldn't get out of your degree without doing an internship in a company. You should do that because I don't know in other markets, right? Because most of my experience is in the Brazilian market. Here in Brazil, if you finish your degree without do some kind of internship in a company, it's a little harder to get an entry job position like a junior developer or this kind of stuff. It's a little harder. So you should go for that if you can.
Yeah, that's true. For other industries in the world, I think it's the same. Gabs, from your experience, what are those important skills to have in the tech industry?
Well, I could spend my time here talking about frameworks and languages and this kind of stuff, but I think that there is space for every major tech that we see nowadays. We could say Java, .NET, and Python, and on the front end side, React, the frameworks, React, Angular, and JavaScript, obviously. But as I said, there's a space for all the stacks and all this technologies. But I think that one thing that we do not pay too much attention, especially for developers, is the ability to know how to communicate well. And when I say communicate, I'm talking about writing and talking and dealing with people, because when you talk about tech, especially programming, we think about that person that doesn't talk to anybody, that works alone, and that stereotype that is not very accurate. In some cases it is, but the greatest developers and tech professionals that I know are people that know how to speak, communicate themselves pretty well. So I think this is one of the abilities that people should go after. And this is something that I didn't care about until a few years ago when I started working for this company, when I have to teach people to give classes. And I learned how to speak in public, how to be a communicator. And I'm an introvert, okay? This is not something that I like. It's natural to me, right? So it's an ability that I learned. And I think that it's a very important skill for everybody who wants to work and to be a good professional and, climb the steps to success in the long term.
Yeah, that's good. You have to try also and work on your soft skills, right? Because you are more than just coding. You are all the time sharing your knowledge. And work is a big part of our lives, and we have to socialize there as well. So we cannot be just focused on something. That's great to know. Gabs, does someone need to be a techie to work in tech?
Yeah, well, just like I said, now there is this stereotype that people that work with tech are, I don't know, nerds that like Star Wars and are gamers and write code in the dark using a hoodie, this kind of stuff. But this is a false stereotype. Of course, there's a lot of people that fit in this description, but there's not like people that work with tech don't have like a specific face or a specific, I don't know, whatever to work with this. It's just it's a profession that anybody can do, anybody can learn. It's not like I'm not saying it's like something easy, because we should be careful with that word, but everybody can learn how to program and how to work with tech. And no, you don't have to be a techie or a person that like only spends time with technology and your hobbies are related to technology. No, my hobbies are not related to tech. And when I'm not working, I probably doing something completely far from the computer and from technology. And a lot of people that I know are the same.
This is great. This is great to hear. We know that there are a lot of remote tech jobs, right? We talk about it. In some ones, wants to go in the tech career, they need to be like comfortable with remote work, obligatory.
Yeah, I think that after the pandemic, the remote works, remote positions grew a lot, right? I mean, in tech, it's a field where we already had a lot of people and a lot of companies hiring people remotely around the world. But after the pandemic, this increased like a lot and became a reality to a lot of companies. I think the remote work for me is something that like I love. Remote work changed my life completely. I really don't understand how I could go to the office every day to work. It doesn't make sense nowadays. And but I understand that some people prefer to go to the office or prefer to have a hybrid model, somehow completely understandable. And I understand as well that especially for beginners, remote work can be a little bit harsh, because beginners are like in that phase where they are learning a lot of stuff, where they sometimes need to be close to other people, and sometimes they didn't have too many previous work experiences, so they are learning how to work as well. And all this process of communicating asynchronously through Slack or through other message tools can have a learning curve that may be a little bit hard. People may feel a little bit lonely sometimes, as I said, especially in the beginning. But well, I think answering your question more straight to the point, I think you can work remotely if you want, but there are other options. There are full-time in-person positions as well. I don't think this is something that you should worry too much.
Yeah, that's true. And of course, like being remote has like a lot of benefits. Like
yeah.
You said, like you can be everywhere. Like you can be with your family, with your dogs. I don't know. Create your own space to work, like to feel and work in your own pace. So I think it's something that it can be like something to worry about, right? Like yes, it's more the benefits that you can have. Yeah. Gabs, how does someone keep updated on the tech industry? What are the best ways to learn?
Well, people have many different ways of learning, right? Some people will prefer to do the old school way, let's say, to buy printed books and read them. Some people will prefer to watch YouTube videos. Some people like those letters. Some people like events. My way of keeping updated with the tech industry is to follow people that I consider references somehow, see what they're doing, see what they're sharing. If they have channels or newsletters or whatever, I will follow them and check them constantly. And I will attend to events. Usually, I will go to online events and in person when I have the opportunity to meet these people, to see what they're talking about, and to let them know me as well. Because the greatest opportunities that I had in my career was meeting people in events and in person, and you never know when you are going to find your next colleague or your next boss in one of these events. So my way of doing this is like this: going to events, subscribing to people that I admire and I set as a reference, subscribe to their content, and follow specific newsletters. But yeah, there's like millions of ways of doing this.
Yeah, this is great. Also, we have here in Bangkok an academy that is a subscription where you can do networking with other ones, and you can practice your English skills for interviews, because we are not native speakers and we got what it's like have or facing a interview in English, or if you want someone to check it on your profile and see how it looks for recruiters, it's so important. So it's like something if you want to, you can check. Gabs, we have talked about women in tech and how Bangkok works to break the bias. In your opinion, does diversity in tech matter and why?
Well, sometimes we talk about diversity and people think that companies are trying to hire more diverse employees because, I don't know, because they are nice and want to help people. Yeah, that obviously is something that companies do. People, companies do have their social side of these initiatives, of course, but it has already been proved that diverse teams. It has already been proved by research that a diverse team delivers more value, and at the end of the day, brings more money to the companies, which is when you have people from different backgrounds and different ways of thinking, you are going to cover more possibilities on your product. Because sometimes when you're talking about software and tech in general, we think about code and computers and servers and this kind of stuff, but sometimes we forget that software and all this structure is something that we build for people. People at the end of the day are the ones that are going to consume what we're doing. And software, it's a way of solving a real world problem. And you're solving real world problem from real people. If you have different people with different backgrounds and different ways of thinking in your team, as I said, the possibilities of covering the most different aspects of this problem is way bigger than if you have just white men in the team. That I'm not saying these people can deliver a successful product, of course they can, but the possibility of you do not pay attention to a specific use case or to a specific bias in your software is way bigger if everybody thinks the same.
Great. Gabs, do you have any tips for choosing the right role in the tech industry?
Yeah, I think this is something that I relate to, because I started my career around 2007 as a developer, but I have never been very happy as a developer, like fulfilled. You know, I was always looking for something different. And through the years of my career, I tried to find something that made sense for me. And I tried some different roles. I tried to learn new things, and most of them were not successful. Only after 7 years as a developer, that was when I started teaching and being a programming instructor, that I started to find my way in tech. So I think you should try. If you're not happy with what you're doing, if you're not fulfilled with what you're doing nowadays. You should try different stuff. You should, as I said, follow people that you think are doing a good job or that are doing what you would like to be doing, and see what they're doing, who they follow, what they're building, and try new stuff, and, you know, experiment, try different languages, try different frameworks, try different kind of content, programming content, tech content in general, and experiment. I think there's no way of finding out what is the best role for you if you don't try it, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's true. Gabs, we know that you love to work with the community. What do you expect from someone that joins a group or a community? How could this person contribute to these tech communities out there?
Well, I think the greatest fear of someone that someone like me, and I think like you, Maria, that deal with a community on a daily basis, is that the community doesn't interact, like that you enter the community, be it a Slack server or a Discord server or whatever, where the community gathers, and you get there and it's like a ghost town. There's nobody talking, there's no interaction, there's nothing happening. I think I think the most simple thing and that you can do in a community is to interact, is to share the content that you see there, is to thank the people that are sharing, is to, you know, show who you are, say your name, and then start talking to people, interacting, and if you can help with specific stuff, if you can help, I don't know, organizing events or answering questions, and if you want to do this kind of work, it's great, it's incredible when members do that. But I think the most simple thing that you can do is to interact. I don't know if you agree with me, Maria.
I do completely, because it's for that, like, communities are for you to ask, to interact, to do networking. And sometimes I think they feel that their questions can be like, you know, like silly or not important. And yeah, they just prefer to be like ghost there. And that is not the reason that we are creating communities for you. So yeah, this is so important that you interact all the time.
Yeah.
Great, Gabs. I'm sure Devon hackers learn a lot with this episode, and without any doubt, they will know how this industry works and how to be prepared. And I know that they probably want to keep learning from you. So how they can find your social accounts or your blog or website?
Well, so on Twitter, my handle is It's Gabs Ferreira. I think we can put a link there. My channel nowadays, I only got Portuguese content. Actually, I do have some interviews in English. It's some interviews that I do with people from outside Brazil. I think we can put a link there. And yeah, I can. My site is gabsferreira.com. For Portuguese speakers, I have the links to all my socials there. And I also have a weekly newsletter there for Portuguese speakers that want to subscribe as well.
Amazing. I will post all these links in the description of the podcast. And of course, if you're not a Portuguese speaker, you can use Google Translator, right? So
yeah,
you can follow him. That's great. Thank you so much for participating in this podcast episode, Gabs. And to you that is listening to this podcast, if you have any questions, reach out to me on Slack channel. We will be so happy to help you. And I will see you around. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Van Hack Podcast. Make sure to create your account at vanhack.com to access jobs that are hiring from abroad.